Thank you.
Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Yeah. Ooh. Welcome back, everybody. It's June.
What happened?
All freaking ready.
Oh.
Huh. Boy, every year.
I don't know.
We had a lot to talk about, so we'll get right into it. We got Michael Douglas news for you, and it doesn't involve playing Liberace or being...
It's like the opposite of that.
Yeah, it doesn't involve being straddled at all by Matt Damon. A new site that helps beautiful people get jobs, so...
Thank God.
Yeah. Oh,
I need a job.
Yeah. There you go.
And
we'll decide if Jesse Eisenberg is a jerk. Yeah, if you didn't see that, it's a late ad, by the way.
Oh. That's new. Twist.
It is. It's brand new. So I think we're going to fight about that. So there you go.
Yay.
All right. So let's start out real quickly. Christiana.
Yep.
How was your week? I know your family has returned.
My family has returned. My last week of freedom was fine. I had a fantastic Friday night, I have to say. I had some friends through some, I got scheduling wrong. I originally thought my family was coming back on Friday. And so I agreed to take friends of mine who are getting married. Yay. Congratulations, Mark and Jenny in Germany. They flew to Germany on Friday and I was like, oh, I have to go to SFO. That's perfect. I'll just drop you off. And then Rob said, hey, remember that time when you said don't schedule the flight on a work day so you wouldn't have to take time off of work? And I was like, oh, right. So I thought, screw it. I'm still going to take my friends. I left work a little bit early. Went to visit some fantastic YMCAs in the Bay Area because that's what I do for fun. And
it is fun to stay at the YMCA.
It's fun to stay at the... And there is actually... one of the Ys I toured was the downtown Berkeley YMCA, which still has a hotel, which is really pretty rare these days. And they have this like Valhalla of Ys. It has like three pools. It's ridiculous. But then I treated myself to a little Priceline hotel by the airport.
Wow.
And
high roller.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was a Hyatt. I'm not sure if that Hyatt is union or non-union. I'm going to blame Priceline that it was a roll of the dice. But it was the one down in the peninsula. And it was pretty impressive and nice. And I just watched some TV in my room. I went down to Knuckles Historical Sports Bar.
What made it historical?
I don't know. They had some old pictures on the wall. And that was about it. And so had a chatty bartender, which is always fun. Had a couple of drinks. Went back out to my room, watched some TV, went to bed next morning, slept in, went to the pool, enjoyed the hot tub, went back to my room, got a late checkout because I signed up for like their, you know, loyalty points club.
Yeah.
Which got me free internet, a free bottle of water, which is no joke at a hotel.
No,
$5
savings.
And a late automatic 2 p.m. checkout.
Nice.
So I was like, thanks, guys. So I checked out late, went to the airport. And then waited 3 hours for all of my family to make it through.
Wow.
border control, because Homeland Security can't fix computer glitches.
Well, let me just make this very clear. I know it's been a while since the end of the War of 1812, but the British, they can't necessarily be trusted. So I don't trust them
that far. But it was, Rob had some troubles with our friends at Immigration and Customs Enforcement in 2006. And
it's in his permanent record.
It literally is. And since then, even though he's a legal permanent resident now with no conditions, which means nothing to anybody who has to go through that process. But he has his 10-year green card now. He's totally clear. But there's some little note. I think we figured out the code is Victor 1-3 or something.
Uh-oh.
And it gets flagged. And so the guy at the desk, when you come into the country, says, oh, you got to go to secondary. And secondary is a magical, horrible, boring, terrible, bureaucratic hell of a room at SFO with a giant map on it. So you can sit there and see to which place you'll be sent back shortly. And
wow.
So because it was Saturday and it was really busy, it was a room full of, you know, profiled brown people from Middle Eastern and Indian countries.
Sure.
And so he had to just like put his passport in the slot in line with everyone else. And he watches these people go into rooms and sometimes they come out and sometimes they don't.
Wow.
And
unnerving.
And then they pick up his and they pull him back in the room and they go tappity tap tap the computer. Oh, you don't need to be here. And he's like, yep, I know. Thanks. Can I go now? Sure. Bye.
And then this was what
and
was
that in, took 3 hours.
And as he was walking away, this is what was in his head.
Happy.
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 I think it was at that point he was pretty delirious.
Yeah.
So.
Question, what happens to your small child when these things happen?
Well, I think he should have kept, my mother-in-law came back with them. So mother-in-law and small child came out about an hour and a half in advance of him, which is good. Although I still think they would have cheated and moved his thing up if he'd had been there with small complaining 3-year-old
right.
child. Who's an American? I would hold him going, she's an American. She has rights.
like this Brit.
But yeah, they were able to come out. But before, when it's happened, it hasn't been quite as busy a day, but she just sits there with him.
So more important question. After 3 weeks, who did you miss more, the husband or the child?
Uh-oh.
That's not a fair question.
Like a Sophie's choice.
I never said it was.
I missed having all of my family there, but I missed the vacation. They had a fantastic time, and so I really was sad that I wasn't with them. But the sunny side of that is that it's a nice reset period for my headspace.
So let me put it to you this way. Let me rephrase the question.
Okay.
If one of them had to stay in the UK for one more week, one of them came back now, and one of them had to be there for another week, who would you rather came back a week early?
Well, I've already ordered all the boarding school applications, so that, I'm just kidding.
Rob's going to boarding
no,
school?
No, Kat is taking the big Will Tarts from England. You should look ashamed. He just did like Puss in Boots eyes at me.
He has no shame.
I don't know. They travel together. At this point, you have to ask me like 4 years from now when the kid's old enough to maybe fly by herself or something. No, that's probably still too young.
Yeah, that is a little too young, except in like, you know, 60s movie terms.
Okay.
Where you just sort of, you know, drop them off in the terminal and hand them off to the nice stewardess. And she goes, oh, who are you traveling with?
I used to do that stuff back in the day, like child of divorced parents, you know.
Yeah, my sister did. I remember taking her to the airport when she was pretty young. I mean, probably like 9 or 10, I remember taking her to the airport, and she gets a little button traveling on her own.
Yeah, they put you right on the plane, and then the stewardess like has her eyes on you, know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I was the stewardess, I'd be like, oh, thanks, you know.
Yeah.
Like, here, like, you get to watch these children.
Sure,
and do the rest of your job.
Right.
Yeah, but as a kid, it was really fairly safe, you know, parent at each end of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know how
much
that's changed.
The days before, you know, pre-9/11, when you, the parent could, you'd be at the gate, you
yeah.
put
right.
the kid on the jetway.
Ah, yes, that made
you know,
a difference.
That's different. And I think now, I think you still can't. Those probably that's one of the situations where you still can get one of those special secret you're allowed to go in passes.
Probably, yeah.
But it used to be not, there wasn't that much distance
yeah.
where you'd be, your eyes would be off the kid, right?
But now it's the whole trip. So what did you guys do this past week? Anything exciting?
You know, I knew you were going to ask us that, so I was like racking my brains just now, like, what did we do? And I think that the best answer is that we discovered the show Sons of Anarchy on Netflix,
yeah.
and it kind of took over our evenings, and it's actually affected our sleep schedule because it's kind of an upsetting program. And so, like, you finish one and you're like, we really should go to bed, but we're kind of keyed up because that was so upsetting. Guess we'll watch another one. And yeah, so I think we've watched probably like 8 episodes in the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, Ted and I joined a motorcycle gang, and that's what happened this weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that show too. You're in season one, right?
Yeah, we
are.
Just started.
Oh, okay. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. New season starts in September. So you've got a little time. And there's one season that is not on Netflix yet. So, and I don't think they're going to put it on there, but
I'm curious about that show. But I read about like a really disturbing scene, which somehow makes me not want to watch any of the
just
entire
one.
Show.
Was it really recently the disturbing scene?
I think
scene
it was
last
relatively
year?
Recently.
Yeah, where someone gets beaten to death.
No.
Oh.
Okay.
That happens every show.
That happens fairly
It was something
frequently.
Having to do with children.
Oh.
Somebody's child.
Oh,
a kidnapping?
I don't want to spoil anything.
Well, we've seen there's been a rape, there's been a tattoo removal with a blowtorch.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
none of that.
Oh, nothing. No,
no, it's
like bad stuff.
Bad.
That's
okay.
All fine.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, I mean, what channel is that show on? Like,
it's on FX.
FX, right? And so there's not, it doesn't have all the boobs of an HBO or Showtime show,
it's the only
but
thing
it has
it.
A ton of violence that is fairly graphic. And so it's interesting that when you pull it back, like, oh, now we're on basic cable, you know, we're not going to get crazy like the pay cable.
Like, you haven't watched Nip Tuck then?
I have not.
Nope. You watched that takes care of the boobs thing.
Yeah.
Plenty of nip.
Yep.
It's kind of, I mean, I don't know. Personally, I don't know. I don't mind a little less violence and a little less boobs than, I don't know. I feel like sometimes with HBO and Showtime.
Well, then what's the point?
Well, no, when they go, sometimes these shows, it feels like they go so far to insert that in your scene so you feel like you're getting your money's worth that sometimes it like messes with the narrative, and that's when it starts to bug me. It has to feel sort of organic.
They're not artistic boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Sons of Anarchy, I don't think you can pull the violence back on Sons of Anarchy, because I mean, that's the whole crux of the show.
That's really true. That's really true. But I still have a hard time with it. I'm watching it. I'm enjoying the show, but I'm also like,
it's really,
do they
really
not F-bomb? Do they say like fark, or do they beep it out, or do they just not swear?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember swearing.
No, they say, they drop some swear words on the Netflix version. Don't they? Would censor it on TV.
They don't. They rate it TVMA.
Just like,
It's on at 10. It's on at 10 p.m. on FX. So they will swear on the show.
But can they F-bomb?
I think so.
Because I imagine in real life a motorcycle F-bombs.
They can.
I think they do, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, South Park did.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember the South Park episode?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're on cable. You can do it. It's not that you can. It's just not done.
Well, if you're showing the kind of violence you're showing, you may as well throw in some F-bombs too.
But the Parents Council will still say that because they have to pay to get Disney Channel, they shouldn't be subjected to stuff on other channels that they are apparently forced by the devil involuntarily turn on.
Life is hard.
In view.
So I live in Midtown, and I've started to notice more recently, as I've been riding my bike around and walking a lot more around Midtown, some of the people. Like,
there's people here?
Yeah, but there's very odd people, and one in particular that I noticed that stuck out to me this past weekend. And it was really hot this weekend, incredibly hot, as a matter of fact. How hot, you ask?
How hot was it?
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
That hot.
Is that, what is that? Is that Anchorman?
Yes,
is
it
that,
is.
Okay. Ew.
Yeah, I think we're in triple digits now.
Yeah.
We will be this coming weekend.
Boo.
So I'm riding around Midtown on my bike, and I see this. It's an odd sight. It turns out it's a dude. Picture, if you will, in your head.
Paint in my head a picture. Is that how it goes?
Wilford Brimley.
Okay, got him.
Wearing a long, curly black wig.
Okay. Does he still have the facial hair?
Yes.
And the diabetes?
Yes.
Okay.
What color is the wig? Black?
Black.
Okay.
Curly black wig. Like, and it's long.
Like a Rastafarian wig?
Like a Joan Collins wig.
Okay.
Oh. See, I was thinking Cher, but Joan Collins changes my entire image.
And, and he's also riding a red tricycle. Oh. Full-size adult tricycle.
Holy cow.
I want one of those.
On the sidewalk.
Well, that's just unsafe.
This neighborhood that I live in, by the way, out of 100 gets a 98 on bike score, meaning there is a bike lane at least on one side of virtually every street here, and usually on both sides of the street.
Well, bike, not trike, dude.
Yeah, that was just like riding along. And then this morning when I was out walking around, I saw, and I didn't know this happened, I saw an old lady who, you remember the video for Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen? How they're all wearing the overalls.
That's right. My kid's favorite video.
And they don't go all the way down, so they're like high water overalls a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, well, picture, if you will, a 60-year-old woman with a pot belly rocking those same things walking her dog.
Awesome.
That was my other fun visual. So welcome to Midtown.
I parked by the Mars building today, and it just smelled like homeless person, like,
yeah,
intensely. There was no one around though, and I looked for like a pile of clothing or something, and then I was scared there was something in a tree that was gonna fall on me. It just it was so bad. There were other people like walking the street, and all of us were like, what is that? Looking at each other.
Was it the smell of urine? Was it that,
yeah,
smell?
Yeah, but okay. It was the smell of urine on a person that's very old. Like, it wasn't, ooh, you know, there's pee smell, like, yeah, public park bathroom smell.
Sure.
This was old, dirty person smell, and it was weirdly strong. No idea where it was coming from. It was like the phantom.
Yeah, like smell. A ghost.
Phantom BO. Like,
yeah, oh my God, it was
terrible. Or PO, if you will.
So bad.
Say, who loves Dane Cook? Show of hands? I'm not seeing him shoot up. Dane Cook decided to be part of the Boston Strong Benefit concert. However, he did not allow any part of his routine to be broadcast in the webcast at all. So he was part of the concert. So if you were there live, you got to see Dane Cook. But if you bought into it online or however it was distributed, you didn't get to see Dane Cook because he doesn't want anybody to steal his new jokes. He tweeted afterward, "Hey, everybody, sorry my set was not part of the live stream or televised. I didn't want any of the new material to hit the airwaves yet." Yeah, you could watch it on live stream. That had problems, but you could watch everybody but Dane Cook. So, apparently, people have been attacking him, and he's been retweeting it. Scott Thorne tweeted, "A shame that a greedy douche like at Dane Cook is associated with Boston and got to participate in a great event like the One Fun Boston concert."
Yikes.
I liked that there was a woman who, she just like summarized all his jokes and posted them. She was at the show.
Someone named Patrick Ahern tweeted directly to him, "At Dane Cook, you dick. You were there for a charity, not your own self-promotion, dick."
Seriously, how's that going to work out well for his career?
Yeah, so I don't know. Comedian Lenny Clark, also from Boston, performed at the concert. He lambasted him on the Dennis and Callahan morning show. One of the hosts mentioned the number to call to donate was gone during Cook's routine. In response to Cook's tweet, Lenny Clark said, "That is one of the meanest, stupidest. Why would he do something like that? That's beyond me. Jesus Christ."
Here's the question, though. The thing that bothers me about this article is that line that the number to call was gone during his routine. Well, if he didn't allow it to be broadcast, then
it was just
pantomime. What the fuck do you mean it wasn't? What were you looking at where there was or wasn't?
Yeah, I don't know about that
number.
Either.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, but he basically,
I don't know much about Dane Cook's work, or I don't really care about Dane Cook.
Well, basically, Dane Cook out and out admitted that he didn't allow it to be broadcast because he didn't want it out there too soon.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Because heaven forbid people will say it was awesome and make other people want to listen to it.
Well, someone might steal his jokes.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible. So, it's time now for our newest feature on the show. It's called, Who is Amanda Bynes calling ugly?
Who isn't?
D, all of the above.
Right.
Well, it's interesting because it's got some twists and turns. For this show, it's Perez Hilton. Perez Hilton is an ugly gay bully. If you like him, I won't be your friend.
Oh, no. Amanda.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. But then they made up. As Perez Hilton tweeted, "In the last week alone, Amanda Bynes has called ugly Rihanna, Lance Bass, Christy Teigen, and Courtney." That would be Courtney Love. "And am I missing anyone else?" Then she tweeted back, "Perez Hilton, you're not ugly. I was lying because we haven't talked in person in a long time. Please stop being mean on Twitter. Thanks."
Good gravy. That girl has problems.
And then she later tweeted, "Perez Hilton, follow me so I can give you my contact."
What?
She wants the contact info so she can so that they can actually speak.
I kind of get it, but I don't know.
Do you really?
I don't get the whole tweet. I don't know. Communicating privately through Twitter just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, sure, you can direct message as long as you know how to do that, unlike our old friend Anthony Weiner.
Ah, Weiner.
You don't want to mix
classic.
You don't want to mix up your direct message with your tweet, because then suddenly pictures of your schlong are all over the internet.
Yeah, that's the worst. I hate that.
It is terrible. You know what else is bad? Being pretty. It's hard.
Anything I want, basically. I literally get treated like a princess, and I don't really have to be this smart, I guess,
Midwestern princess.
I have my looks, which is true. But at the same time, it sucks being pretty. Because it would be nice if people took me seriously once in a while.
So it sucks being pretty. This is from an MTV reality show. The thudding you heard around she's wrestling. She's in a wrestling ring, like professional wrestling. She's 21. She's from Illinois, and she was profiled in MTV's True Life, I'm Too Beautiful.
Is that an ongoing show?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, True Life is the
True
best.
Life is an ongoing show, but they do different topics. So it's not like a whole
True Life, I'm broke.
Yeah.
True Life, I'm pregnant. True Life, I have obsessive compulsive disorder. True Life, I'm renting it's like the precursor to a lot of shows, because I think the teen mom thing first came in that show, and there's like True Life, I'm renting, it's like I have a summer Jersey Shore rental.
Yeah, it's True Life. We're looking for
Testing
another
ground.
Spinoff.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is.
It's also awesome. It's really awesome.
So, yeah, it is hard being pretty. I mean, yeah, gosh.
It is.
Oh,
so I suffer
bad.
Every day.
I feel like people would take you more seriously no matter what you look like if you didn't say things like, and I guess I don't even have to be smart, really, because it's just I'm a princess. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't think being pretty is necessarily why she's not. She seems like she's not taking herself seriously.
That's a solid point. Ted, what do you think?
I think getting breast implants to push you from a 10 to a 200 is the wrong move. That's what I think. I'm just reading the article. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm not. But that's just my own personal
She's
place.
An aspiring professional wrestler. She's trying to optimize her beauty. She figures that breast implants can push her from, quote, a 10 to a 200.
Yeah. Is that like on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 200?
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't work mathematically or in any way, I don't think.
But there are drawbacks. Hundreds of Facebook friend requests, unwanted attention from men, because men are the worst. Men whose attention she does not want. Not taking her seriously, female haters, and of course, tension with her sister.
Because she's so pretty, her sister can't stand her.
Yeah, you know how sisters are.
Oh, yeah. She hates me because I'm beautiful.
File all this under bitches be crazy.
Yeah. I know. What's the deal with, like, oh, I have hundreds of Facebook requests? Like, there's ways to keep random people from requesting your friendship by just not making yourself searchable if that's really a.
Well, remember, Becca,
trouble.
She's not smart. She doesn't have to be because she's pretty. See, it's all starting to make sense now. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's not just ladies that have problems. Sometimes it's men that have problems, too. Let's go now where was this? Augusta, Georgia, where a nationally known male stripper is wanted by deputies. It's all about what he's accused of doing at a local nightclub. So let's take a listen to that. What?
A nationally known male stripper is in trouble tonight for what Richmond County deputies say he did at a local nightclub. Investigators want to talk to Kelvin House.
Augusta commissioners voted today to suspend Club Skittles' business license for
Club
30
Skittles.
Days.
With a Z.
Yeah.
Just so you know, it's Club Skittles.
They made a special graphic, too.
Ryan Houston joins us with more on that story.
That's right. Commissioners say it's outright ridiculous what happened. We're told someone sent deputies a picture of the naked male dancer and naked teen on stage dancing. We're told there could be charges filed. Male exotic dancer Ridiculous, seen here on an episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta, is used to being wanted.
The infamous Ridiculous!
This time, it's by Richmond County investigators.
You telling me by Monday morning, the picture is sent to the sheriff's department. It's period it was set up.
Will charges be filed? This is an underage person.
This is still under investigation at this time. We still have some other people that we need to speak with that we're working on now, along with the performer who is supposedly on tour at this time right now.
Investigator
Tony Hyatt
says the X-rated and underage dancing happened here at Club Skittles on April 27th. Hyatt says adult entertainer Kelvin House, better known as Ridiculous, took off his clothes and brought a male 16-year-old Richmond Academy High School student on stage.
See the picture?
Club Skittles, I'm guessing their slogan is Taste the Rainbow.
They were both naked.
There was anywhere from 20
yes,
to 25
it's a gay strip
individuals
club.
In there.
Also.
They're all from the same
I'm sure that has nothing to do with
here.
It.
I think the suspension was harsh because you have a club that has no violence, none whatsoever, no police reports whatsoever.
The doors to Skittles nightclub may stay like that at least for 30 to 90 days if one commissioner has his way.
That's a sick thought in my mind in terms of, underage folks being a part of that. And a very, very strong message needs to be sent from this commission that will not be tolerated.
And the owner, Timothy Lowry of the club, was given two tickets, one for underage drinking and the other
ticket to paradise. Anyway, sorry.
I have a feeling. I mean, where was the state? Was this Georgia?
Georgia.
Yeah.
It's because they're gay, right?
It's probably a little bit of it.
It kind of blows my mind, though, that they said that there were 20 to 25 of his classmates there, of the teens' classmates there. And I don't know. I just feel like when I was in high school, there were gay students in my class, but they were not out. And everyone was really afraid of being thought of as gay. And I would think in Georgia that it might still be the same way. So I'm kind of amazed that somebody would get up and dance on stage in front of 25 of his high school classmates.
Naked.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of, it's blowing my mind of what Georgia youth might be about.
Well, gay Georgia youth. They're about shaking it. What?
Shake it.
Yeah.
Why are they playing Ridiculous? It's the club's fault for letting these kids in. Leave Ridiculous alone is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, well, the club is the one paying the price because they're the ones that have been shuttered for 60 to 90 days.
I can't imagine it's a dancer's responsibility to be like, can I double check your ID?
Yeah.
Leave Ridiculous alone.
Hold on. Let me put my cock back in my banana hammock. I'm going to need to see some ID. Okay.
wow. If the kid was naked, I don't know where his ID would be. Actually, I do. Never mind.
Do you?
Yes, in his butt. Okay? Jeez. He made me say it. It wasn't my fault.
Oh, dear.
It's true. It was a weird week. In Seattle, someone decided to make off with a mannequin, but that wasn't the end of the story.
Ooh. And is in jail for allegedly stealing a mannequin from an adult entertainment store and then coming back and burglarizing the same place later that night. Coma Force Keith Eldridge reports it was all caught on surveillance camera.
The folks at Lovers say they've seen their share of shoplifters, but nothing like this.
And he basically just ran into one of the doors, tried to grab an entire mannequin and run off with it. Well, as he grabbed it, the bottom half of the mannequin fell off. So he got the top half out the door with him, and off he went.
Customers couldn't believe it when they heard about it.
It's pretty stupid, I guess. Like, why would you steal a mannequin? Just go get the real thing. I guess he couldn't get the real thing, so that's why he stole the mannequin.
But sheriff's deputies say the suspect wasn't done. Just a few hours later, after the place closed Tuesday night, they say the suspect came back.
When he came back that night after business hours and broke in, he was wearing the wig from the mannequin that he had stolen. And he went around and found some, apparently, clothing for his new friend to wear.
Deputies were there in a hurry and tracked the suspect on his bike a distance away
after
he left a trail of sex toys. Kitsap County Sheriff's Office said 24-year-old Arthur Ray Brown was arrested in connection with the burglary.
Trail of
being
sex
held
toys.
On $15,000 bail.
He must be desperate. I don't know. That's crazy.
Lovers says the 23 stores in Washington and Oregon are designed to bring people closer together in their relationships. The mannequins are...
As he says closer together in their relationships, they've got a pair of handcuffs dangling in the foreground with the lingerie in the background. Just saying.
That'll keep you together.
Yeah.
They're simply there as props.
Every once in a while we get people that come in and, you know, they kind of ask questions about the mannequins and do we sell them and things like that. But it's pretty strange that someone would go through that much trouble just to get their hands on one.
The folks here are surprised the suspect didn't come back trying to get the lower half of the mannequin he stole, or at least try to get a new whole one, but he just took off with some cheap lingerie.
He must be a
boob
man.
In Silverdale, Keith Eldridge, Como.
So this guy's doing his stand-up, the end of his package, inside the adult store. Think how far we've come. Yeah, that's right, everybody's 12. Think how far we've come where... It wouldn't have been so long ago that like an adult store like that would have been a huge pariah in the States. I know Seattle's a little different, but still.
I thought it was funny when they were like, customers couldn't believe it when they heard about it. And I was thinking, customers probably can't believe that they're in the sex toy store and here comes a man with a camera and a microphone asking them to comment. Like,
and they did.
Yep. And they did.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a healthy thing. There's nothing wrong with going to the sex store.
Well, no, nothing wrong with it, but I don't know. I personally might be surprised to find myself on camera there.
I wouldn't want to be in camera. Mom.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to.
You wouldn't want to be like Goldie's Gold Club. Goldie's customer.
Nope. I'm like the sex toy store pundit.
There was one.
No.
There was, I can't even remember. I think it was called the Toy Box or something really predictable by my college, like maybe half mile off campus. And we'd go because it's funny, right? But there's always that awkward moment you look around the store, you're like laughing about various, you know, movie titles or toys or whatever, and you look around and see the serious shoppers.
Yeah.
And then you're all, I'm vaguely uncomfortable now.
Those stores are there because people buy that stuff.
I know.
It's not just
penis things for bachelorettes.
Yeah, it's not just a giggle museum.
Can't you order that stuff online?
Yeah, but it's nothing like holding it in your hand to know how big it is.
I guess
support your brick and mortar.
True.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering if Amazon sells that kind of stuff.
Isn't there a butt plug thing?
They do. In fact, if you'd like to order sex toys from Amazon, you can. And if you want to enhance your love life and help out the podcast, what you do is you go to NateDarlingShow.com.
It'll really help us keep it up.
Click the Shop Amazon tab and go to town. Enhance your love life.
And then listen to the podcast while you use your toys.
Father's Day is coming.
It is.
I don't. What? Not for your own father.
Okay,
that's
so
just weird.
Just as an aside.
Sure.
I recently bridged the gap on Facebook between, like, I have all my, like, you know, social circle of friends, and I just added some friends from church into Facebook, and as I did, hi friends from church, I thought I wonder if they're gonna listen to the Nate Darling Show, because I'm always posting it, you know, and I thought, oh, that'll be fine. And then, of course, the minute I do that, we're having, like, the most, like, raunchy show we've
raunchy.
Had in a long time.
It's fine. Sex is natural.
Embracing
sex is good.
Sexuality is okay within the confines of a stable relationship / marriage.
Sex is best when it's one
or
on
something.
George Michael quotes.
Yeah, hey, people from church, it's George Michael lyrics.
No. And my church is, like, it's really a free to be you and me church, honestly. I'm sure, there's no prescribed...
guilt
dogma,
right but at the same time, it's funny, like, if you need your butt plugs, buy them from NateDarlingShow.com. I'm like, oh yeah, new friends. New online friends, seeing what I'm all about.
Yeah, that's what we're about.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool or tool?
Whoa. All right, first up in cool or tool, being too pretty. Ted, what's it like being too pretty, cool or tool?
Well, from my experience, I think anyone who thinks that they're too pretty is kind of toolish. I don't know. I just think you're too caught up in yourself to think you're too pretty. So I call it tool.
Becca, what say you?
I'm going with tool.
Christiana?
Oh, in this context, tool.
You know what? It is, but there's something there. There's a hurt there. There's a hurt there that needs to be, you know, she needs a hug is what I'm saying. But she's still a tool. up next in cooler tool, male strippers. Becca, what say you?
Just in general?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Why not?
Christiana?
Yeah, I'll go with Becca. I like Happy.
Ted?
I don't care. They're just as cool as female strippers, I guess. That's a pretty generic statement.
I just watched Magic Mike, so I guess I'm feeling like, if I'm assuming that they all do look like Matthew McConaughey and the other guys from that.
That was part of your time alone?
Yeah, I wasn't alone. I was watching it with friends.
Okay. Oh, that
super makes sense. Super stereotypical group of bums watching Magic Mike with wine. I was kind of ashamed of myself.
So it was like going to the strip club without going to the strip club.
Yeah, because I wouldn't do that. I can't.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go with Tool, and here's why. They use up way too much baby oil.
Yeah.
The world, there are people who need baby oil for babies, and it's all over male strippers. It's not cool. And finally, in cooler tool, mannequins. Christiana, what say you?
Hey, the movie with Kim Cattrall is cool, and other mannequins are tools.
Ted.
You know, I don't like mannequins because I just don't think they accurately represent people, and that's what they're supposed to be. I think they put people out of jobs. I think mannequins are tools. I don't know.
Becca.
I think mannequins are scary. I'm also afraid of dolls, and they just fall into that category. And also, lately I've been reading about how mannequins, you know, are so skinny that they promote, you know, body image issues for ladies. So I'm going to say tool on two counts.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say tool, but not for the reason that you might be thinking. It's why aren't they wool mannequins? If they were men, then they'd be mannequins. But these are most mannequins are female.
Whoa, mannequin.
Yeah,
whoa.
Mannequin.
Mannequin.
Personikins.
Yeah. So
she was a fake
humannequin.
Humannequins.
There you go. Right. Humannequins.
Yeah, and they should look like human beings and have all the parts that men and women have.
Don't be so cis mannequin. They can have whatever parts they want.
Exactly. They could be a whole separate species, if you will. So I promised earlier we'd determine if Jesse Eisenberg was a jerk. Now, we all know Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network. I think that's where he shot to fame for the first time. And right now, he's out on tour promoting the movie Now You See Me.
Totally going to see that.
Our friend Larry and his boyfriend Adam went to see that. They both liked it very much. I ran to them at the Swingin' Safeway yesterday.
The Swingin' Safeway?
Yeah, it's the Swingin' Safeway in Midtown. Everybody knows it.
Always heard it called the Gay Safeway, but the Swingin' Safeway is actually better.
In San Francisco, they call it the Gay Way, I think, was what we used to call the one on the Safeway in the Castro.
Any Safeway with Larry and Adam in it is the Gay Safeway. Oh. But here's what I found fascinating for anybody listening in the middle of the country and anybody who might be really super white ring about it. They were shopping for groceries just like regular people.
Gay groceries.
Yeah, exactly.
Like cucumbers and
oh my gosh,
carrots,
no.
Rump roast.
Oh, what is wrong with us today?
Okay, now because you went there, I'm going to talk about this really briefly.
I'm sorry, I'm kidding. Everyone knows I'm kidding, right?
No, this all ties in because I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians on Sunday night, and it was a little bit disturbing because while we did learn the sex of Kim and Kanye's baby, it's going to be a girl, by the way.
Spoiler.
Really?
Yeah. It is going to be a girl. They looked for a Johnson, and as she said, takes after his father, so you'd be able to see it.
Oy vey.
Yeah. There was the storyline where Bruce Jenner needs a little space, so he buys another house so that he can have a little space. Yeah, in Malibu, overlooking the ocean. But that wasn't the part of the Kardashians that was weird. The part that was weird was Scott has been pestering.
Wait, who's Scott?
Scott is Kourtney's boyfriend and the father of her two children.
Baby daddy.
Scott Disick, or Lord Disick, if you will.
I won't, but go ahead.
Okay. He is hinting that he would like a little backdoor action. And Kourtney not down with that. So there's this big conversation about it, blah, 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 blah. And she breaks out props as to what it would be like, but they're in the kitchen. So she takes a chocolate donut and a large carrot.
Oh.
And proceeds to break the donut apart with the carrot and going, well, that's what it would be like. And like,
that's not scientific.
It's not at all scientific. So, and this is going to be a spoiler alert for all of you. At a certain point in the show, because they discussed it and thought this would be a good idea. If he wants it, then he should give it up first. We get to see Kourtney Kardashian wearing a strap-on.
Aye.
Yes.
This show.
On E.
I don't understand. What does this have to do with Jesse Eisenberg again?
We'll get to Jesse Eisenberg
in
a second.
I was confused. I thought maybe my ears turned away at the wrong moment.
No, Ted mentioned food.
I got confused.
Don't blame me.
Ted
blame
mentioned
Larry.
Food being related to sex, and I got turned back around to the Kardashians and the whole thing. Sorry. Aside, Jesse Eisenberg. He was sitting down for one of those long sessions of interviews where you sit in a chair for like 10 hours and they keep parading nitwits in front of you and you answer the same question over and over again. Well, he was interviewed by this one girl who I don't know where she's from. Her name's Romina. But let's take a listen and you tell me, is Jesse Eisenberg a jerk?
He's a chipmunk.
By the way, that's how her show starts.
Just oh my
FYI.
God.
It's Destiny's Chipmunk?
yeah, that's that's sort of setting the stage for who he's dealing with.
Okay. So Freeman plays a magic debunker.
Freeman? Who are you?
Yeah.
Freeman? Yeah. What are you, on a baseball team with him?
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine.
Okay.
Morgie yeah. plays a magic debunker.
Right.
You know, he reveals these magician secrets.
Yeah.
So I want to play a little game
okay.
where you debunk some secrets.
Okay.
She's doing the finger separating trick.
Yeah. That one, I think what you're doing is you're putting your thumb under your pointer finger. You're bending this one.
Can you do it?
Yeah, I think it's something like this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the problem with the trick is that the thumbs don't look like an end of a finger.
You just have a fat thumb, though.
No, my thumb's fine, thank you. But what did you write on your hand?
Nothing.
Well, I saw there was a lot of things. What was it?
A lot of things.
Are they questions?
No.
Are you secretly hiding questions for the interview? You're wondering what it's like to work with Morgan Freeman and you can't remember that? Don't call Morgan Freeman Freeman like you're on a little league softball team with him.
I heard that you have a snap card trick that you learned or something.
Sure, yeah. You brought a card?
I have a lot of cards.
Do you know the comedian Carrot Top?
Yes, horrible.
Well, you were like the Carrot Top of interviewers.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and it's a good thing. It's
I'm
going to
go cry now.
No, don't cry now. Cry after the interview's over, because otherwise I'll look like I'm responsible for it. Okay, so...
well, you are.
Well, I don't want to know that, though.
Okay, so you know now.
I said your name into camera. What else do you want from me?
A magic trick.
Okay. All right,
so we can wrap this up.
Hey, you're on my time. Okay. Okay, choose the card from here.
Okay.
Look at it, obviously. You can show the camera, you know. Yeah, Romina. Now put it back anywhere in the deck. Okay. Now, do you remember your card? Are you thinking of it?
Sure.
It's not important. Okay, could you point out where you think the card is? You're right, it is in the deck. Okay, so wait, oh, you think it's on top?
Yeah.
You think it's the top card?
Yes.
So I'm going to take the top card off, and this should be your card then?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Is it your card? I mean, it doesn't matter.
No, it's not. It's not my card.
I don't need to be amazed. I already know how it's done.
It's not.
Okay. Was that your card?
Ooh.
See? Are you happy lied to the point of almost not appreciating that?
Can I just have you say my name into the camera?
Romina. Just the word Romina?
Well, my name, not a word.
And what's going to happen to it?
We'll skip it.
I'll do the thing.
We'll skip it.
But I just wanted to know, like what to give it.
Like if we just broke up.
I probably wouldn't say anything then.
You're trying to find me in a crowded place.
Oh, okay. Romina.
That's it? I would never hear you.
The thing is, I actually didn't want to find you. I was actually hoping to stay alone.
Such a jerk.
So.
I feel like they ran off and had sex after that.
Yeah,
they're both ridiculous people in that. I don't think he's necessarily more jerky than she is, but she got a press pass, so you got to deal with it, buddy.
Yeah, well, getting a press pass, not necessarily that hard for one of these movie junkets.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. I know, I was going to say, I've never been.
What movie do we want to
like
go,
that?
You guys? Yeah. Nate Darling Show, we're legit shit.
Yeah.
I'm
Can
not
I cover
kidding.
For the Nate Darling Show?
Go ahead.
Yay.
Go ahead, talk to some people about that.
All right.
Well, obviously, Romina and her and her whole little thing. I don't know. She reminds me of one of those really cute girls who wears glasses but doesn't need to. Because she thinks it makes
Manic
her look
pixie.
Cool. Yeah, that's it. You know, honestly, I mean, what do you guys think? If I'm in his seat, I'm doing everything I can to not reach across and strangle the life from her.
I don't know. I don't think she's any worse than other people I've seen do interviews about stupid questions.
Yeah, but it was...
They both seemed equally inane.
He was more douchey than he needed to be. Like, he put her in her place a couple of times when she kind of seemed unprepared or whatever, but then he just kind of carried it on. I don't know. It was tricky. Like, she was definitely not the best, but I think he was ruder than he needed to be. Like, he seemed a little bit too, like, happy with how much he was, like, getting the best of her.
Well, I think the whole thing was he was doing it, but she wasn't stopping. She was like one of those, you know, those inflatable clowns that you punch and it pops back up. She was like that inflatable clown. Like every time
he
would do
Bobo.
It. Yeah, she would come back with something equally inane and stupid. So he was just getting more and more frustrated.
Well, I admire her persistence then. If she was just getting under his skin, then maybe she wins.
Does she?
She definitely wins because she got a really noteworthy Jesse Eisenberg interview that people are watching. When would we ever watch her show otherwise? You
Rowena.
Know,
That's
and when
right.
we're talking about it, like she definitely wins.
Yeah, good job, Rowena.
If she can like get more people to piss off it, you know, to get pissed off celebrities and like have banter like that with her, I mean, she could make a whole career out of that.
No,
I think that's what she's trying to do.
Being stupid and annoying, a new career.
Yeah,
let me work on that.
She won't be the first. Yeah,
as we were discussing the Kardashians earlier.
Exactly,
it's terrible. A horrible thing to say. So Jesse Eisenberg, jerk, yes, no?
In that instance?
Yeah.
A little jerky, but not the worst, I don't think.
I thought he was fine. I thought she deserved everything she got. That's just my opinion.
Let's ask Freeman.
Let's ask Freeman.
Our buddy Freeman.
What are you doing?
I mean, he was right to call her on that. Calling Morgan
Freeman.
Yeah,
no, that was
Freeman.
Really weird. Yeah.
But she played it off. Whatever.
So we mentioned that there is a job site now for beautiful people. It's called beautifulpeople.com.
I'm going to look it up tomorrow.
People.
I still need a job, everybody.
People.
Well, no, that's the dating site for self-proclaimed attractives.
I thought it was a job site.
Sorry. There is. We'll get to that.
That's a job site. Okay.
Yeah, it's written very weirdly because.
Oh.
Yeah. But there are recruiters looking to hire beautiful people for different jobs. And I mean, you know, if you're working at, say, an Abercrombie & Fitch or a Hooters or something like that. But basically, according to Mashable, the free service will give individuals and companies access to its 750,000 member base of attractive people. Only those members who are voted beautiful by others on the site are allowed to stick around. This site's called Hot or Not. This has been around forever, since like the beginning of the internet.
That's right.
That's true.
It's the place where people go to have their low self-esteem lowered. Let me upload my picture to Hot or Not and see what happens. Oh.
Not hot at all.
Oh.
Oh. Only my boobs were bigger. That's what I thought. Hi.
Hi.
So, I don't know. It's the world has gone off the friggin' rails. I don't know. I have no idea.
So wait, what's going on with this site then? So employers go look for hot people?
It's not online yet. It will be online. So,
how did they come up with 750,000?
I don't know.
Oh.
I think they just went for hotornot.com. What is this video? I haven't watched this. So let's just go.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
Oh, it's
my
classic
hair
care commercial.
Dry, split ends. Then I discovered Pantene.
Yeah, good for you. Models with shampoo. Good.
That's old. That's classic, like, 80s.
Was that Kelly LeBrock?
Yeah.
Wow.
Retro.
That's a classic.
You know who's retro, but back again? Michael Douglas.
Just like an STI.
Okay, wait. Who here has seen the Liberace movie?
I really want to.
I really want to also, but I don't have HBO, so I think I'm SOL.
Well, if you know somebody with HBO and you wanted to watch it, someone might be able to help you with that.
Ooh. Maybe we could all have a Liberace party.
I don't know. I don't know if that's really a party.
With Hef and Ace? Come on.
They've already seen it. They went in the other room.
Oh.
They were like, no. This is no. When Matt Damon emerged from the pool in his bejeweled white Speedo and straddled Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has Rob Lowe also, huh?
Oh, my God. Rob Lowe has the most fantastic makeup and prosthesis job. His face doesn't move. And this guy plays the plastic surgeon.
I was curious about that because I kept hearing that people were saying that he actually had plastic surgery for it, but you think it was just makeup?
Well, he explained it. Basically, it was a wig, and all of his skin was taped to the wig and pulled back really far.
Ugh.
He said it hurt like hell.
Yeah, I bet. Well, people were saying the same thing about the new Arrested Development episodes. They were like, did Portia de Rossi have, you know, stuff done? And then a bunch of other people were pointing out, well, her character is supposed to be the kind who would get, like, Botox on Botox on Botox. So they were hypothesizing that was the same, just kind of unmentioned effect in the show. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know.
Well, I think Michael Douglas is trying to sort of counteract all the gayness with Liberace and everything he did in that movie, because he is now saying oral sex can sometimes cause cancer. In an interview published in the Guardian newspaper, he appeared to blame his own battle on throat cancer with oral sex, although that interpretation was later disputed by one of his representatives. Hmm. The Guardian quoted Douglas as attributing his illness to the HPV virus spread through oral sex, which it is. When asked about his cancer, Douglas said, without wanting to get too specific, this particular cancer is called HPV, which usually comes from cunnilingus, because Michael Douglas knows all the big words.
He's a cunning man.
I guess it could. I mean, I heard there were a bunch of cancer experts interviewed on, like, NPR, and they said, well, I mean, yeah, it can happen, but...
Well, that's part of the reason why they want both young women and men to get vaccinated for right. HPV.
Well, I don't know. See, I don't know that HPV ever really causes... It doesn't... I don't think it very often causes, like, penile cancer in men. It's almost entirely asymptomatic. Even the kind that a man might transmit to a woman that would cause cervical cancer doesn't necessarily result in cancer in the man.
Right, but so. throat cancer, it's still out and up for debate, but it could. And they are seeing a huge uptick in that, even in people who don't drink to excess or smoke, which is, you know, basically the leading cause of throat cancer. So, and then he apparently said the best way to cure it is to have more sex with a woman? I don't know. I think this is all just a huge cover-up for being Liberace in the movie.
Can't he just show us all romancing the stone again to prove that he's straight? I mean, he has a whole career. Or, like, falling down. Like, only a straight guy would make a movie
or
like that,
or his
right?
marriage and to a woman and their children.
There you go.
Well, there's that. But, you know, a lot of guys have kids and wives and are still gay. But, yeah. So Michael Douglas, here's what I learned. I don't know if I want to hear from Michael Douglas anymore. Because I watched the making of Behind the Candelabra, and he started talking about, you know, because he started to talk like Liberace now. He's carried it over.
The cat's attacking the microphone.
He'll live.
he'll live.
Unless I get a hold of him.
What?
Hey
mic
there.
Check. Mic check.
Yeah.
Ace is, like, hanging from the...
Well, I had
end
to
of the mic.
I had to put catnip on the cat tree because they weren't using it, and he gets a little mental, as you can see from his expression.
He's hepped up on cat.
So Michael Douglas is starting to do the Liberace voice all the time, and so he was doing. He's like, "Here's the best part of the movie is after it starts, it doesn't seem like it's two gay men." Yes, it does. It does, absolutely, when you're hopping in and out of the hot tub and, oh yeah, Matt Damon is on top of you grinding away.
Does he just mean it doesn't seem like a novelty? It just seems like a really honest love story between two humans?
What he means is...
Like Brokeback Mountain?
His thing, well...
It just seemed hot to me.
Well, maybe. But his whole thing was like, oh, you completely forget about the gay stuff. No, you don't. You don't forget. It's there. It's very obvious. It's part of the story, and it's good that they told the story, but man, if this accounting is even remotely close to true, Liberace was a dick. I mean, imagine, you meet a 17-year-old, you invite them into your home, and then you start this weird proceeding where they're an adult now, they've reached 18, and you want to adopt them.
It's called grooming.
And then after you adopt them, you bring them to your plastic surgeon so that they can have plastic surgery to look like you as a younger person.
That's freaky.
So that you can have sex with you. It's awful.
Money and attention do strange things to people.
Yeah.
But the person has a choice, don't they?
Well, you could argue that when you're talking about somebody who is as young as he was and sort of being groomed that way, that you don't necessarily.
Somebody's enabling something somewhere.
Yeah. Well, he was a drug addict too, so... Yeah, one never knows.
One
never knows. new CFL team, Canadian Football League, in Ottawa, and the name sort of struck me as odd. They are known as the Red Blacks.
What does that mean?
Now, I read that and I was like,
I don't get it.
I need Nate to explain this to me because this must be something Canadian that will make sense.
Not a fucking clue.
Really?
Well, no clue.
What does it say? Anything?
No, it's just Red Blacks.
Is
it's
it
just,
racist? I don't know what's going on.
unveiled their new name and logos. It's going to be officially announced on June 8th, but the logos were leaked early. The other names up for consideration were the Nationals, Rush, the Voyageurs, the Raftsmen, and of course the Red Blacks.
Were their colors? Oh, wait, this is a brand new team. They didn't have colors. Okay, so I was like, oh, are they just taking the colors and making a name out of it?
No.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. And of course, in French, it's Rouge et Noir d'Ottawa, or the Ottawa Red Blacks.
God, it's crazy-ass Canadians.
Speaking of team names,
see?
There was the to-be-named soccer club here in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Has a Facebook page, which I then liked.
Right.
And yeah, I completely forgot about the tickets for that thing. That's an awful long conversation. I was very busy doing nothing last week. And a fan posted a shield logo design that he made,
mm-hmm.
calling it the Sacramento Rush, as in like Gold Rush, with like a Gold Rush pickaxe thing. It looked awesome. Mm-hmm. The color was close. The name was good. I was like, this is really great. And then the team had to put a thing saying, like, it's just a picture that we liked that was on the thing. It's not the real deal, because everybody freaked out over it. And now I'm going to be disappointed with whatever they do pick, because it'll be something like the Sacramento River Stone Cat Pebble Dogs or something completely made up that probably will have nothing to do with nothing.
Well, when there was a CFL team here in Sacramento in the late 80s, early 90s, it was when the CFL expanded into the U.S., brief thing, there was the Sacramento Gold Miners.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And
like 49ers.
Well, that's what this Rush thing would be for the soccer.
Yeah, probably. And
yeah, Gold Rush.
And were the colors like green and gold?
I have no idea. Oh, I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, something in there. There was a bunch of colors.
So it was basically probably a complete ripoff of the CFL logo.
Maybe. I didn't know. See, I don't know my history. So
there we go. We'll look at that later.
Okay. It says here on the internet that the Ottawa Rough Riders were always red and black. Is that what it's a callback to?
Well, the Ottawa Rough Riders were around, and they went away. They folded, and then the Ottawa Renegades came back, and their colors were also red and black. But to just name it after your colors is weird.
I agree. That's dumb.
It's absolutely strange.
And just combine them into one word. Red, black. Okay.
Red, black. Okay. It's time for Florida Corner. Let's play some music here. Let me find this. Hold on. Come on.
Red, black.
Come on. There we go. Play it. There we go. Oh, God.
Technology.
So taxing.
Ugh. It's the worst.
All right. First up in Florida Corner, A Florida woman. This is awesome. A domestic dispute that involved yelling and thrown household items ended in violence. That's not awesome. But it did. Sunday, when police say a woman clonked a man on the head.
Technical term.
With a New Orleans Saints garden gnome.
Clonked on the head.
A New Orleans Saints garden gnome.
Indeed.
I had no idea.
A report by Gulfport Police says that at about 4:17 p.m. on Sunday, Lisa D. Buckley, 47, a server at the local restaurant, arrived home and began yelling at the victim. Buckley then threw items all around the residence and then picked up a New Orleans Saints garden gnome and struck the victim with it. The officer reported that the victim was bleeding from the ear and the left side of his head but refused medical attention. Meanwhile, Buckley fled the scene prior to my arrival. The next day, though, Buckley called and sent text messages to the victim trying to persuade him to drop the case. She was arrested on charges of domestic battery and harassing a victim and taken to the Pinellas County Jail, where records show she was released in lieu of $5,000 bail.
Don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
No,
instead
it doesn't.
Of bail, we're going to let you go.
Yeah, nice job, Florida journalist. Way to go.
What happened to the gnome?
Oh.
Yeah, that, they didn't cover that either.
Ah.
Hopefully we went back to his football career.
I would hope so. Then we move off to Sanford, Florida, where on Sunday night a Black Papa John's customer checked his voicemail to find he'd been butt-dialed by the man who just delivered his pizza. He was stunned when he realized what the message contained.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Let's take a listen to that. He's going to... We'll listen to some Creedence while he queues up, because he's showing, like, the side of the pizza box and that he tipped and so on and so forth. And
he tipped?
Calling Papa John's.
Yeah.
To place the order. This is the driver calling us once he got...
Now he's showing his cell phone.
...to our house to find out where we were.
2 hours.
This is the driver's missed call later on.
Here comes the voicemail.
Missed call?
The butt dial voicemail.
This is the voicemail.
Thank you. Get to it, dude.
Is there
this is the voicemail from the same driver.
Is there a voicemail?
There's a voicemail.
Okay.
He's going to play
this
it eventually.
Is the time of the voicemail.
Wow.
At the same time
it's not cord. It's a YouTube video. I'm about to call him bad names. Hurry up. Come on.
Now we're going to hear this voicemail.
Yeah, thank you. It's a butt dial, so it is kind of muffled.
The way we're all listening to this right now, it's like we're FBI profilers or something. Like, listen harder.
Like, dirt road, no, like,
oh,
let me skip ahead a little bit to the best part.
I could.
So this guy's leaving, basically, he's doing some racist talking, but then at a certain point, he breaks into operatic song. So he drops the N-bomb a couple times, and then he decides to sing opera.
Wow. That's horrible.
I think he was trying to get fired.
I know. You know what? This is why I hate opera. Because nothing good comes from it. So, that'll wrap up Florida Corner, where,
the
where they know... they know opera.
Did the dude get fired? What happened?
Yes, he got fired.
Okay. I would hope so.
No, he didn't get fired. He was
Florida.
Promoted.
What do I know? He got a promotion.
He was made manager of the location because they don't want him delivering pizza anymore.
You like your
I'm sorry.
Moxie, but
we like the fact that you know opera. It shows a touch of class mixed with a glint of racism. Sorry.
Jeez Louise.
I know. Poor Becca. Look at the look on her face. She's
Hi, church friends.
Oh, you know, no.
And I knew that Florida Corner was going to make you react this way. So I decided, because I'm a good person, church people, to go to a little good news.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah, good news. You know, each, and it's going to start out being weird, but each year the homeless...
There's a silver lining to the horrible thing about it.
There is. It's about homeless people. You remember Ted Williams, the homeless guy who with the golden voice?
Oh, yes.
We haven't heard a lot from him lately. You know, he struggled with dependency, and there was all this thing, and people were like, oh, well, he was on the Today Show, and Kraft Foods hired him. So they... A newspaper did an interview with Ted Williams, the Washington Times. So they asked him some questions. So what caused him to become homeless? And he said, well, if I had to point to one thing, it would be my personal battle with drugs and alcohol. He said he was homeless for 17 years. Then they ask him, you know, what sort of services do you think would have helped if you were out on the streets? And he talks about that a little bit. And then it goes to, what helped you get by when you were on the streets? He said, my faith in God, prayer, and my hope that one day I'd see my mother before she passed away. And they say, well, here you're writing a book. He says, the book's already been published. It's called A Golden Voice, How Faith, Hard Work, and Humanity Brought Me from the Streets to Salvation, which you can get through Amazon by doing what?
Ordering through the NateDarlingShow.com.
There you go. And she asks, how does your life change since being homeless? He said, I'm on an upsurge. I have two vehicles, and I'm currently working for Kraft Foods, and I'm doing the speaking circuit. So all in all, I'd say my life has changed completely. He's doing voiceovers for Kraft and their macaroni and cheese commercials. Said Kraft has made a significant contribution to his not-for-profit named the Ted Williams Project that raises money to help struggling shelters, providing them with sheets, soap, water, soaps, washers, and dryers, amongst other things. And he does personalized voicemails, too. Anybody wishing a personalized voicemail from the man with the golden voice can do so through his website at a low fee of $19.95 per voicemail. So.
Not bad, I guess. I don't
so
know.
There you go. So there's a little good news.
That is good news.
Ted Williams did not end up back out on the streets, and that, you know, that was the
so
one.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I mean, he's not back in the shelters. He's doing good. He's had his foundation to help people. So there you go.
Yay!
Some good news. And after good news, it's time for, where the hell is it? There it is.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Small town news is usually good news also.
Oh, it's such good news this time. It is. It's not a Gordy Little column, don't worry.
God. Okay, all right.
That is good news, right, Ted?
Yes, that is good news.
It's entitled Pinch of Time. Weird weather in 1816 affected North Country.
Okay, see, it's a news story about 1816
this
weather.
Is this by Susan Tobias?
Yes, it is.
This is not good
oh,
news.
Yeah, get ready for a little kindness, everybody.
The bags of mulch are stacked on the front porch, ready to keep the weeds down in my flower gardens. The only problem is the not-yet-bloomed flowers are soaked. Where did all this rain come from? Back in early May, I thought we'd made with early sunshine and nice weather. I should have known better. Snow in northern New York on May 25th? Say it isn't so. But it's been worse. The year without a summer. It happened in 1816 as a result of the incident that happened in April 1815. According to www.about.com, it would take more than 100
about
years
boys and girls.
Before scientists understood why. On the remote island of Sumbawa stood Mount Tambora, a volcano 12,000 feet high. On April 5th, 1815, it started to rumble, much to everyone's surprise. No cell phones in those days, not even a telegraph on that tiny island. Historians have had to rely on eyewitness accounts, in particular Sir Thomas Stanford Bingley Raffles. Jesus, that's a name. Who was serving as governor of Java at the time. Whew, Sir Thomas published a brilliant account of that day, gathered from English traders and military personnel. Accounts state that on April 10th, the volcano blew its top, shooting fire into the sky. Three columns! It was thought that the gun battle was ensuing in the ocean. Military troops were dispatched and ships were sent in to help the fight. Can you imagine their surprise wandering around on the Indian Ocean looking for a battle and finding none? Inhabitants on the island 10 miles to the south said entire mountain looked like it was turned into liquid fire, throwing stones of volcanic matter onto neighboring islands. Report this. You know what this sounds like when you're in high school and you copy the encyclopedia over for your report
or the about.com.
Sure.
It does sound like that, but I also think this is one of the more exciting Susan Tobias columns ever, even if she did just cut and paste the whole thing.
By fall of 1815, London was experiencing some of the eeriest sunsets the city had ever seen. In the following year, dust particles from Mount Tambora were carried by wind currents across the world. Weather in Europe and North America was drastically affected. Spring and summer were cold, crops didn't grow, and food shortage ensued. The North Country was not exempt from these problems. In historical sketches from Franklin County, Frederick J. Seaver, 1918, relates in an interview that he had with Anselm Lincoln in 1885 when he was 91. Lincoln arrived in Malone in 1815.
Is there a way to tell if people keep listening through the end of the small town news article?
No, that's fine. I mean, you can tune out if you like. It's the end of the show. That's why we do all the sponsorship stuff before we start.
I'm just wondering if people are like, no, I don't know what happened.
No, some people do. Basically, Lincoln said Malone had a frost every month in 1816. Similar problems occurred across the country. That caused President James Monroe to mention it in his annual message to Congress. The state legislator directed the annuity be paid to the St. Regis Indians early because corn was devastated. The heaviest frost in Franklin County...
The band? No, sorry. I just imagine really sad band people.
Well, if you're listening to corn, you probably are very sad.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I mean, what are you going to do? In the fall of 1816, supplies of all kinds had run low in Malone, and until a state of famine prevailed. A boat had been long overdue in Fort Covington with flour, and the expectation that it must have arrived. The store, Clark and Weed, had filled with people, each having his bag to be filled. Jesus, this is long.
Wait, Clark and Weed?
Both?
Clark and Weed. Clark and Weed, yes. That's the name of the store. Clark and Weed. W-E-A-D.
Okay. I think both Christiana and Ted are just playing games at this point.
No, I'm...
I'm the only one...
Without a smartphone.
...still listening. Yes, because I don't have a smartphone, so I have to listen.
See? And that's what it's like if you live in a small town, because this is the news.
This is the smartphone.
So I'm going to skip
in
ahead.
In paper form.
I'm going to skip ahead.
So the part about kindness?
Yes. She said, by now you're probably thinking, how distressing. Lighten up, readers. There haven't been any volcanic eruptions in this day of instant messaging. We would know if an ant sneezed and caused a dust devil to rise. All kidding aside, I'm sick of rain.
Is that the point of her entire spiel?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready for spring and summer flowers to get Toby back out there on the lawnmower. Hurry up, sunshine. You're overdue.
And Wait a second. Toby Tobias? Is that her husband?
Well, that may be his nickname. I think she just calls him Toby.
Like Freeman?
Sure, like Freeman.
He's a Little League coach. What does that even mean?
And she says, one last thought. As always, please be kind to others. The world needs more kindness. And you can email Susan Tobias at mcgibby57@charter.net.
I bet she's probably the nicest lady.
Oh, my God. She looks like the sweetest woman ever to be anywhere ever. Aww. So, yeah, it's... I don't know.
It's not personal.
Maybe I'll email her and ask her about mulching flower beds because I need gardening advice.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you're nice.
Yeah. Well, you are. It's true.
If I make it into Susan Tobias's column before I make it into Speak Out, that will be amazing.
Oh, you will. I guarantee it. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Hope you're having a good hump day. Either way.
Wink.
We'll be back. yeah. Ironic, huh? We'll be back on Friday with another new show for you. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye. Singing Marshall Tucker, we were falling in love in the sweetheart of summer. She hopped right up into the cab of my truck and said, fire it up, let's go get this thing stuck. Baby, what song you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise down a back road, blowing stop signs through the middle, every little farm town with you in this brand new Chevy with a lift kit. But look ahead. So baby, you're a song.
and grabbed my guitar and strummed a couple chords and sang from the heart. Girl, you sure got the beat in my chest bumping. Hell, I can't get you out of my head. Baby, you a song, you made me want.